5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Episode 140.
This is on video. You know that, right?
I'm wearing a shirt with a stain on it, dude. It's been a rough day.
I literally changed my shirt for this. And I don't know if you can see this, but there's a sore on this side of my nose. And I turned the camera so you can't even see it.
So I'm just sweating over here in like 115 degree weather.
Oh my God. Fuck that.
Yeah, it sucks. Welcome to the Minisode, everybody. I know what Alex has. We'll save it for the end.
Everybody knows what Alex has, baby. The truth. Herpes. What?
What? Jesse, why don't you start us out today?
Hey, everyone. You know how science says that the universe is expanding and faster than we think?
And yeah. Also, it's not locally real?
Yeah.
So apparently, according to a published paper on June 2nd, in the Journal of Classical and Quantum Gravity by University of Geneva professor and theoretical physics guru Lucas Lumbreser.
Turns out,
may not be real. Scientists have known of the universe expanding forever and ever because of something called redshift. That is basically the stretching of light's wavelength towards the redder end of the spectrum as the object emitting it moves further away from us. Redshift.
Right.
So, according to this new paper, may not be true. Essentially, and this is me trying to derive from a paper, so bear with
me. We're just not nearly educated enough to speak freely about this.
I am, but I don't know about you two.
The universe isn't expanding, but is flat and static, just like Einstein used to believe. And what we're seeing is instead explained by the evolution of masses of particles, protons, electrons, whatever, over time. And essentially, this is kind of like a permeation of space-time where these particles are everywhere, and the cosmological constant is set by the field's mass, and because the field fluctuates, the masses of the particles also have this fluctuation.
So that explains redshift, basically, or redshift doesn't
exist. Yeah, and so the constant
either
varies over time, and essentially what we're seeing isn't the expansion of universe, it's these particle masses changing over time. And in the model, these field fluctuations result in larger redshifts for distant galaxy clusters than traditional models of prediction of, you know, redshift and whatever. And so basically they're saying not only does this mean there is no expansion, but it could mean that there dark matter is a nothing, right? Dark matter is just another part of this whole particle shifting
just a decayed
and fluctuation.
Sort of here there be monsters-esque part of the universe.
Yeah, essentially, they say these fluctuations could also do away with dark energy, the hypothetical force that, you know, is stretching the fabric of space and thus driving galaxies faster and faster apart. And this model, the effect of dark energy, according to Lambrisseur, would be explained by particle masses taking different evolutionary paths in later times in the universe. So essentially what we're seeing, because we're looking into the past, we're seeing particle masses at different rates and different, you know,
it's like
sizes?
Everything
I don't
is,
know, dude.
It's like everything kind of like, and look, I'm a preschooler. When we see the supernova that's happened a long time ago, it's like the same right. principle, but just for like all types of particles decaying yeah. and everything.
That's what I'm understanding.
Yeah, and so we are essentially seeing the particles in a different form, and it's messing with redshift, and we just, it looks like it's all an optical illusion. To us, it looks like things are expanding faster, because the more detail we get, right? Because Einstein was like, everything's fine. And then we got telescopes in detail that was like, oh, everything's moving. And then we got, oh, it's moving faster than we thought. And he's saying it's actually all an optical illusion, and the more detail we get, the more we see the particles that are tricking our, you know, our eyes, our receptors, various sensors and things into thinking, oh, it's expanding, when really it's not. This is one of those things, however, there's no proof. There's no way we'll ever be able to know. It could be expanding. It could be expanding faster. It could not be expanding. This is just all theoretical physics. And no one really has a clue. But this is
that's so
the newest.
It's like might as well be Jack Kirby. You know what I mean? It might as well be.
I mean, it's true because if the universe is flat and static, does that mean Big Bang happened or did something else happen? There's also, I know, theories some physicists have that the universe has just been a constant in existence at all times. Like
Einstein agrees that there was a Big Bang, right?
I think he did, yeah. And a lot of what we learn is consistently proving Einstein more and more correct.
The idea of the Big Bang, though, like with most things, was that explosion and then it just slowed over time. And a static universe is kind of just the idea of like, it's not moving faster. Like it's slowed to a point where it's static. But
it just sits there, yeah.
Yeah, and I think Einstein would agree with that. But then science was like, no, if it's space, there's no friction.
Yeah.
Things would keep moving, and so like it's still expanding. And then we got evidence of that with redshift, and then we learned more, and we're like, oh, it's expanding faster. What does that mean?
I guess I always imagined that the space was part of the universe.
Well, yeah, but that's also space-time as well. Like, how does that even... We don't even know how that works. That's why we're like, it's dark matter. And if you ask a scientist to explain what that is, they can't. Because no one knows.
It's literally invented to make the math work. Like, that's what dark matter is.
It's that same shit you were showing us yesterday about space-time ripples and all that shit.
Yeah, that was from the James Webb Telescope Twitter. That didn't come from, like, any wackadoo
one or
anything.
No, you were just showing it. Like, it's just the same stuff. So, cutting-edge
science. Tangentially,
it's
not the topic I want to talk about, but tangentially, another big thing that's happening in that same sphere is the detection of gravitational waves, which we've detected in the past. We understand that they exist, but they're excruciatingly hard to figure out. And there's, you know, it's very difficult to predict it. The best way scientists have been able to predict them is by looking at pulsars, because they pulse and send out gravitational waves on a steady kind of rhythm. And they've been tracking it for 15 years doing it that way. However, they also built, and they fought tooth and nail to get this funding, I read, is to build this huge, like, structure.
They actually built two of them.
Two of them that kind of has, like, two prongs, like, sent out. Each prong is built identical in length, and goes 4 miles out. And what they're built for is detecting gravitational waves as they essentially roll in, to give you the best kind of layman idea of how it
as
works.
As they, like, as the reality as reality itself bends and shifts, it two bends and shifts.
And they detect on these things that these things become about a positrons in width shorter than it actually was built. Meaning the physicality of space-time is that the whim of these gravitational waves, which is still theorized as like gravitons, which was something we talked about, I think last minisode, of like gravitons have been able to, they figured out gravity can produce light, and it has something to do with gravitons being turned into positrons. It's fucking wild. But yeah, it goes in the same thing of like, what the fuck? You know, it's like, it means reality is like literally just like a gooey, malleable thing.
When we get here, when we get to this area of conversation, this is where I'm like, maybe the fact that these aliens that have these crazy spacecraft that can do all these impossible things use things outside of our understanding of what space and time are. Like, yeah, maybe that's just been staring us in the face this whole time. Like, maybe, well, maybe the fact that we just, there's like a huge part of physics that we just do not get.
Again, as Jesse said, dark matter is literally our own insert to make the math work. Yeah. But if these things are thousands, millions, whatever years more advanced than us, and we're only now detecting gravitational waves, who's to say they don't use that to move?
Yeah, or I they mean, simply just exist in a realm of, yeah, where it's not up and down, left and right. It's maybe something different, you know?
Yeah, well, I think the James Webb Telescope thing, you said the time is the fourth dimension. And if they live beyond in the... Yeah, it literally is the idea of, like, they're peeking in through a weird, like, way of just entering 3D space. And
like, maybe they can curve reality to move. You know what I mean?
The more we learn about quantum mechanics and how reality is, the more that makes sense than something going faster than light.
It sounds like, consistent with, like, the last, like, 10 big science discoveries that we have covered from, like, real sources on the Minnesota.
But the thing that's fascinating about this is, if you think about the way science works, go back to Einstein. The 10 mm-hmm. big discoveries that happened after Einstein because of his work. And then people took that and flipped it on its head. And they're like, actually, he was kind of wrong about some stuff. And then the next big discoveries were because of that. So really what happens is we have these cycles of, we have all these big discoveries, and then some dude's going to come along with some new fact and actually proven thing and be like, we were wrong for years. We got some things right, but what we thought was correct, we were reading it wrong and we misinterpreted what we were looking at. And now it's something else. And so it's this whole other thing. And that's just how science works. And it's
point is, we're all really hyped to go see Oppenheimer. Yeah.
I am ready to see. I'm excited to see Oppenheimer. I am, but it also feeds into the whole Avi Loeb thing that's going on right now, where a lot of people in his field are like, you're an idiot for going into the ocean. This is dumb. Don't bother. And he was hoping to get like 5 to 10 spherules to prove. He has over 50 now, and he got a huge peanut sized one yesterday, and he's still got another week or two out there, and he's able to like, he's like, they were laughing at me and didn't think I would find any. And now I'm coming home with a
ton. What if he's pulling up like pieces of like a liquid metal drone? Like,
I mean, I think that's his greatest hope. But again, even if you look at it from just the worst case scenario, it is a meteorite. It's a meteorite outside of our solar system. So now we have a look at what some of the other metals are
even
like.
Even if it turns out to be totally mundane space shit,
it's still
awesome.
Something so like, I
space
can't imagine
can barely
odds.
Be mundane. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine the odds of a meteor from anywhere else hitting our little planet. Like, that's fucking cool in and of itself. So,
and it has metal that like, doesn't exist here. You know, it's like crazy.
Yeah, the composition is not of, because like there's no nickel, and nickel is a huge part of like being able to point it comes from our planet. Yeah. So it's fascinating. I love like our, I feel like a lot of big like scientific breakthroughs in like the quantum realm and our universe thing, like universe and reality, have all been happening, like you said, within the past 5 to 10 years. A lot of it's just been, we're poking at a lot. And this question
because,
is like,
because someone said, what? What is this quantum thing? You know, it's because people...
And they went in to disprove quantum and came out with Nobel Prizes proving it. It's
that
like,
reality doesn't exist, basically. Which is which is so crazy to me.
And that's, I think, why it rolls off a lot of people's backs. Because it's like,
it's
impossible.
Not worth thinking about to the average person. It's like, why?
I gotta pay bills. Yeah. I gotta do like that kind of thing.
Nachos.
Yeah, they don't
have
time for it.
All right. Before we jump over to Alex's finale, I got a little something lighthearted here.
Oh, this is... you mean for the today. I was going to say, today's we are nowhere near the finale,
my
boy.
This comes from ArizonaBigMedia.com.
Like a real website.
Totally. But there's been studies to show which of the 50 states are most likely and least likely to survive an alien invasion.
No.
What?
So, what do you think? I want to hear your things. I'm going to give you, while you're thinking about which you think state might be the easiest and least likely, etc. Let me give you a rundown here. Amid reports that the Pentagon is investigating over a bajillion things, everybody's like got UFO fever going around right now. The experts created a points-based index system that assesses a variety of factors that are considered to have an impact on survivability in case of an alien invasion. The metrics included population density, the amount of UFO sightings, landscapes, defense, science, medical, and food manufacturing data to reveal the U.S. states best equipped for an alien invasion.
California, top of the list.
Well, yeah, what do you think the number one state is and the 50th state is?
What kind of invasion, though? Because Alex says California.
We're talking, like, aggressive invasion. They're take over.
Alex says California, but California has a lot of, I would think, our primary first contact targets. Like, if I was an alien, I'd blast L.A. and San Diego, that entire area, because they have the military base, like, right in the middle, right? I would, you know, San Diego has a fleet. I would take the whole damn thing out. So I don't know that that California would make it very far, because this would be one of the first places I take out. So
you might be right. We'll see.
I would say,
what's your number one? The best
place
to be. My
number one that would last the longest?
Yep.
North Dakota.
Okay. And what's your 50th? The one that'll last the least.
The one that's going to get destroyed? Virginia, because of D.C. Virginia, okay. Maryland, that area.
Okay,
that's a good point. Okay, that's a
locked
good point.
Locked in final answer for Jesse.
Let me think about this again. Okay, Washington, D.C., you changed my mind now. Okay, I'm going to say
you
number
take out
one.
The government.
No, because the government would protect the government. So I would say Maryland or Virginia is number one.
Okay.
Really?
Right? Okay. Because that's America, right? Like, that's... Like,
everybody's going to put all their resources in that one spot.
If you cut off everything else, the president's still got to be in Washington, D.C. I think number zero on... I think California's up there, though.
Okay, but...
Maybe Arizona, too, up there. Since this is Arizona. Considering all the bases and things that are, like, New Mexico's probably up there, you know, Arizona, New Mexico, like, the alien areas. I think 50's Hawaii. Who's going to help Hawaii?
Okay. All right, I think you're going to be both surprised and a little bit confused. So, the state least likely to survive an alien invasion, according to the study, is going to be Nevada. Nevada is number 50.
They're doing it because I think their logic is, if the aliens are aggressive but not like Independence Day aliens... Because Nevada can't take care of itself. Like, the minute water is shut down, or like Nevada is a desert. The minute the power grid goes down, people are dead. So I think that's what they're saying.
That makes sense,
I guess.
And hilariously, Arizona, just because they put it out, they're actually number 49. they're right there at the bottom of the list of
they
like,
were like check out this list. We're near the bottom.
Yeah, literally, that's what the article is. But the number one state most likely to survive is, Alex is correct, Virginia.
Yo!
Dead on correct, with Maryland being number 7. But I'll give you the top 10.
I disagree. I feel like the assault of the aliens in this case is not a real assault. Again, I'm thinking Independence Day, laser beam destroying. They destroy D.C., which is, and they
opening
take
volley.
Out Maryland, and they take out Virginia because of the naval bases and all the...
Maybe
there's
we're
no
closer
way.
To
in
power
aliens
to them
attacking
that we
Earth, they wouldn't take out the government. I don't believe it.
Here's why
it.
They say Virginia is number one. There's only 2.9 UFO sightings per capita.
Oh, this is what they.
There's 29 cave systems that people could hide in. There's about 0.58% of the state. 0.58% of the state is covered in forest. 0.08 is considered covered by water.
So it has nothing to do with Washington, D.C.
Yeah, so there's 17 military force per 1,000 people, 600 law enforcement per 600 law enforcement per 1,000 people, scientists 4.2, engineers 7.6, and healthcare professionals 25.1.
So New York and California have to be up there too, then.
With food and beverage manufacturing companies, 779 of them in that state alone.
Based on this, I feel like California and New York and, I don't know, like Texas and Florida are also probably pretty high up on the list then,
top
right?
20, all of those in the top 20.
Top 20? Wow, I thought
New York
like top
is
five.
New York is number 4, California is 20th.
20?
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Yeah, this is a there weird. This is a weird rubric.
Flawed. Flawed information.
Rubric. Well, there you go. That was a study done by some professionals over at njcasino.com.
NJ Casino?
Yeah.
I feel like professionals isn't the right word then. I don't know about this.
Is it really a gambling
thing.
Website?
NJCasino.com. I'm telling you where it came from.
Professionals.
Your guide to New Jersey's best casinos. What does this have to do with
people's
alien?
Money is on the line. If you were to bet which one is least or likely or most likely to survive, that's
it's how just you know. A bunch of it's just a bunch of casino names with ratings next to them. There's not even articles on this website.
Yo, one of their most popular slot machines is King Kong Fury.
What the fuck is this, dude? This is fucking... What is AZ... You know what? AZ Big Media might be not the greatest. This is like those...
Which I discovered through Coast to Coast, of course.
That broke my shit. That fucked me up. I got dumber as I read on. I usually you learn when you do research, but that time my brain got smoother as I did the research.
Well, Alex, why don't you go ahead and bring us back to an intellectual place?
An intellectual place, you say? Well, I don't know how great I'm going to be at that today. But I am going to bring you back to Giuseppe La Rosa and the Order of Meonia, the Stones of the Tree of Life, Part 3. I will remind you.
Yeah. The author, of course.
Giuseppe, a.k.a. Joe, the author of Chronicles of Meonia.
Never went on an adventure.
He went on a few, but like usually he gets left behind for some reason. Or he's like,
which is weird when he's
busy.
Your chronicler.
Yeah, why does he write the book? Whatever. Anyway. This all starts in Minisode 133. So if you want to go back and listen to Minisode 133, that's where this story starts. And this is actually now we're in phase two. So we actually finished the Eye of Fire area. Okay. And now the first arc is now called the Eye of Fire. And this
what would you
arc
consider
is,
the Avengers moment, the last episode?
Of the whole thing?
Because we're in phase two, right? So what is we're, the like...
I think by the end of the Stones of the Tree of Life, which... is basically AKA the Infinity Stones, mm-hmm. like in terms of what the Stones of the Tree
of
Life are.
We learned about them, yeah.
I think by the end of this arc, we're gonna like have a very clear idea of who the Avengers are. And actually, the end of today, we're going to have a very good clear idea of
they're like
what kind of
some
Avengers.
Villain that goes, fine, I'll do it myself.
Well, yeah, you'll see.
Of course there is.
Yeah. Let's get in there. Last time on the show, we learned there's at least 8 mystical stones in the set our heroes have been hunting for the whole time, each one corresponding to one member of their fellowship, and in a bid for the blue stone, last time I left you on a cliffhanger that Graham would try to get help locating it by contacting himself from an alternate universe in the multiverse.
That's right.
Dude,
I was kind of, I was hoping this would end up with 12 stones and each holder of the stone becomes one of the original alien races that go into space and become part of the Galactic Federation.
The ones that are like the alien. Well, the aliens are coming
12
back.
12 alien races.
Their spirits are here and they're inside of animals, so don't forget
right?
that part.
Oh, shit. It is all connected.
But today's going to muddy those waters a little bit. First things first, it's funny because, okay, I left it on the cliffhanger. Exactly where we find our heroes today, Graham is laying back in an armchair, closing his eyes, getting ready to regress into the multiverse psychic plane, and suddenly he makes contact.
With what we learned about quantum mechanics recently, though, maybe
this is
he
basically
is.
True. Yeah, the entity was desperate to speak to Terry, introduced himself as Graham 6. Which, according to Graham, was a Graham that he had never communicated with before in all his
Graham
multiversal.
Six.
Yeah, he's like,
before?
I'm Graham 6. Yeah, this isn't the first time he's done this. Obviously,
clearly,
it's probably happened on one of Giuseppe's journeys that he didn't go on. But Graham apparently is very, very powerful psychically. In his reality, he says the dark forces working against them have brought untold devastation and destruction and death to their world, and that they're frantically searching for the blue stone to try and stop it. So this is kind of like Earth 6, I guess, is like a very fucked up place.
Do they before every adventure take a little mushroom that helps guide them on their quest?
I can't speak to that. I think they just drink a lot.
Okay.
When Graham 6 found out that they were Graham also six. Looking for their world's blue stone, he hung up on them without even saying goodbye, and Graham woke back up and was like, what happened? And they were like, not even a sausage, bro. And they were like, okay, I guess we're going to try something else. Giuseppe, in the meanwhile, who is watching this happen, watching Graham contact himself in another dimension, weirdly wasn't that surprised by it, because, like I said, Graham's done this before, but it did make him think, according to the book. So that now you can know
okay.
that. However, Graham was not cowed by this failure. And the following Saturday, Graham had them all meet up for something like a Plan B version of trying to get the stones together. And now Mathis is going to read for us what he said. So here we go. We're going to drop that in right here. This is Graham. This is Graham Phillips.
Tonight, we are going to try to find where the blue stones are located. This entails us traveling through the Tree of Life to reach the Blue Sphere and beyond. In order to do this, I will have to go under to allow us to communicate with whatever forces exist in the tree. It will not be easy, I can assure you, and you will have to pass through the spheres in order to get onto the paths. Just be careful, and we might just get what we are looking for.
Okay, and just in case you have no idea what the Tree of Life is, listener, firstly,
listener,
I would recommend...
Jesse?
No, Jess, this is just for the... I got something different for you guys, but for the listener out there, you should Google this, because this is a thing across many cultures. I'll give you guys a picture right here, if you guys want to see it.
You look at like the tree of like nine chakras and all these things.
Yeah, it's exactly
I
that.
Know exactly what we're going about to see. Look at me. I know my occult.
Yeah, this is exactly that. But just, I just want to be clear that this is not like a thing from this.
Right.
This is a real thing. I'm going to send you a picture. And just to dispel any confusion to the listener who angrily...
On Twitter. Got it.
Who angrily leaves comments on our subreddit. Like, why doesn't Alex always just give the shit that he says? Why isn't it in the show notes? Because you can't put screen caps from books in the show notes. You can't do that. I've been trying to be low-key about this whole time, trying to convince you guys to go on the subreddit and ask me, and I'll just hook you up low-key. But no, I'm lazy. You know what I mean? I'm a fucking asshole. So, fuck you guys. Google it yourselves. You guys have a picture of the Tree of Life. You guys could figure it out. And if you're nice, maybe I'll send you pics anyway.
How do you feel better? You feel better right now?
I do.
And, oh, good, good.
And for you guys out there right now, here's... Giuseppe's own words for Jesse to read. This is Giuseppe talking to you about what the Tree of Life is.
I had encountered the Tree of Life before my studies and knew that it was the essence of the Hebrew mystical tradition called the Kabbalah. The glyph, or symbol, of the tree consists of 10 spheres interconnected by 22 paths. Each sphere, or Sephiroth...
Sephiroth! Whoa! They both did that shit.
And there was also an invisible sphere, sometimes indicated by a broken line circle, which was called Doth.
Essentially, sounds like a Star Wars tree planet. Of life Doth represented Jedi artifacts.
Essentially, the Tree of Life represented the manifestation of existence from that which was known as the Source. It was the energy matrix from which all of existence was constructed.
And I don't know if the reason that it's called the Source is like similar to the DC Comics version of the Source, which is the energy matrix from which all of existence was constructed. But Jack Kirby was a Jew, so you never know.
And also, if they're using things that they're using terminology and stuff from actual, like, you know, historical studies.
Yeah, they're talking about that Tree of Life. Yeah, for sure.
The source is either considered like what God is, a consciousness that,
right?
You know, a unified consciousness. I think
it's mysticism. Yeah,
is that what DC's like energy matrix is like at the end of
the source? There's a wall at the end of the universe with that everybody gets stuck to. You know, if you've ever seen that,
nope. You can't get past it, bro.
It's in the fourth world. It's like the new god stuff, Orion and Darkseid and Highfather and all that stuff. But it's like the same thing. It's just in DC, it's implied to be like the brains of comic book writers and stuff.
Cool.
Where in reality, obviously, it's like the mysticism of God and whatever consciousness created us all. I'm not an expert on this. This is just me talking out of my ass. Anyway, this was literally accomplished once again with Graham. This journey through the tree was accomplished once again with Graham as the conduit for a psychic encounter. But before we get into that, there's a strange inconsistency with the book that I need to address really quickly. Firstly, if you recall, in Margaret's letter that she left last week for us, she laid out to the questers, she said that each of the stones corresponded to one of the nine of the past. I don't know. You read that last time.
I do. Yep, I remember.
And if you're listening to this on a minisode compilation later, you just heard it. But then at the end, after that, there was like a part of the letter that she like was like, and this part you can all read, but you shouldn't repeat it to anyone because it's a secret. And I don't know exactly what's in that part of the letter, obviously. And I'm not sure if the next thing that I'm about to tell you was covered in there, but I have to imagine that it was, because somehow, before they went through the tree, they already knew which one of them was connected to each stone. They just go right into it in the book. So I don't know why that is, but I went forward and figured out and kind of reverse engineered who is connected to each stone. So I'm going to just give you that right now, and then we'll go through what happened. So Janet is connected to the black stone. Alan is connected to the purple stone. No one is connected to the red stone. Yet. We don't know. Mystery. Mike is connected to the yellow stone. Marion Sunderland is connected to the green stone. Graham is connected to the gray stone. Terry, the target of the Guardian from the Eye of Fire trilogy, is connected to the orange stone. And Pat, his wife, is connected to the blue stone. And like I said, we don't know who's connected to the red stone. And Gaynor, the alien psychic child, is apparently associated with the white stone, which was not mentioned in the letter. And our boy Giuseppe was actually made the steward of the chalice of Guevara.
You get it, sorry, man. You don't get to have a stone. You could be the cup holder, though.
I mean, I don't know. The chalice might be the most important part, right? Remember, we looked backwards in the mirror and we saw the chalice, right? We remember that.
Don't worry, Giuseppe, I know you don't get to come on a lot of journeys. I know we leave you behind a lot. It's very time sensitive. But the cup holder could be the most important position out of this whole thing.
Dude, you have no idea how accurate. Like next week, you're gonna laugh at this. Anyway, Graham, to go through the tree, Graham sits down in the chair again, turns off all the lights, slows down his breathing, and then spoke with the calm, gentle voice of an angel of Judaism.
Which
Mathis will now read for you.
Oh, yeah, I get to use some sound effects?
If you want. All
right.
If you want.
You know, it's an angel of Judaism.
Is this voice mod? What is this?
This is just my GoXLR. That's all it is.
I bless you.
Is that? Yeah. Look at that. Okay.
This is perfect, actually.
I am Metatron.
That's terrible. The guardian of the tree. You are here tonight in order to obtain certain information concerning the blue stone, which I am not allowed to divulge. That feels like it makes the whole thing pointless. Like,
don't worry.
He's not allowed to divulge it?
Well, we'll get there.
All right, we'll go back to the sound effects.
This information you must obtain by your own efforts, using your own innate knowledge. I can tell you that each sphere and path has a guardian, and in order to get past, you will need to know who the guardian is and what gift he or she desires to allow you to pass, and the animal associated with that sphere. Once past the guardian, you will have to call on the god of that sphere. You must not, under any circumstances, call on the guardian or god of a sphere unless you are certain that it has been identified correctly. If a mistake is made, it cannot be rectified, and you must retrace your steps. I will accompany you to your first sphere, Yesod. Then it is up to you. You are at the first portal and may now begin, for the guardian is waiting. I wish you well on your journey.
All right. So using their innate knowledge, a.k.a. shit they already know, as Metatron said.
That's a weird name. First of all, hold on. They have been told in the past that if they fuck this up, it's over. They've then proceeded to fuck it up. And yet there was another way.
They just
forward.
Have to go back. They have to find another path. There's 22 paths. So as long
there's like a checkpoint.
Yeah.
System.
Yeah. Well, you have to go back. You literally have to turn around and go back. Okay. Yeah.
It's like an RPG where if you do something wrong rather than the game ending, it's like Life is Strange, bro.
Yes. Yes. Or when they're like, when the villain's like, join me. And you're like, yes. And it's like, he's like, stop lying. You know you want to fight.
Yeah. Or when you're like, you want to save Princess Peach? No.
And he's like, come on. That's what you do.
Come on, kidder. Yeah. Oh, you're so funny, Mario.
That's how they determine, just using the stuff they already know, they determine that the Anubis was the guardian of the path to the first sphere. And I'm just going to go into this because they write this in sort of like an action-packed way, but this is me reporting back what happened. So I'm just going to paraphrase. Anubis was the guardian of the path to the first sphere. So the paths and the spheres also, both have entities that they have to deal with. Both the paths and the spheres. And you have to ask permission to traverse the paths and to go through the spheres. They found, obviously, Anubis's animal is a dog. And on almost obviously, he wanted an Ankh cross as a gift. When they got to the first sphere, they decided that through the link to the moon, that the Yasad sphere had. The god inside is Diana, the moon goddess. They were right. Diana let them through her sphere. They went down the path to the orange sphere, Hod. Now, if you notice, Diana did not have any sort of animal or anything like that that she needed. That doesn't matter. They just went down the path to the orange sphere, Hod.
Dude, this is just like, each riddle gets more and more strange and complex.
Yeah, this part's a little weird. This travel through the Tree of Life is a little, like, somebody was, like, drinking a little bit and just, like, didn't edit this. Using Marion's diagram of tarot cards and how they connect to the tree, they decided that the guardian of the path was the hermit from tarot, and that he wanted a lantern and a walking stick for his gifts. And apparently, because he wanted two gifts, he didn't have an animal, so they went on through to the orange sphere. And when they get to the orange sphere, they already know somehow that Mercury is the god of the orange sphere from Terry's innate knowledge, quote unquote. But they knew he needed both an ape as his animal guardian from his connection to Thoth, whom they encountered at Bit of Grange, if you remember, and ended up being another guardian himself, Thoth did, for some reason. And then they needed a feather gift because of Mercury's connection to both flight and because Mercury is the scribe of the gods. So, you know, quill, pen, you know, whatever, flying, yeah.
This is like when a D&D campaign is supposed to end, but the players are having too much fun and force the DM to just keep going. And so there's just more shit.
You want to know something funny? Literally, at this point in the telling of this, even Giuseppe writing this gets bored. And Graham, by the way, Graham this whole time is like silently pantomiming all these things, being Diana, being the hermit, like getting
into it.
It
sounds so cool in your mind's eye of like going through the spheres, but when you recognize
they're just doing
reality,
improv class.
They're all in a living room with beers, some dim light, and it probably reeks of farts. And there's this dude who's doing like, you know, improv dancing in the middle of it. And they're like, he's Diana. He's linked to the moon.
Yeah, exactly. And so Giuseppe's just like, and then we got the green. We went to the green, the yellow, the red, yeah, yeah, yeah. All the way to the blue. Like, literally he does that. And then they get to the blue one, and Pat Shotton accidentally refers to the god who they call Atum as Aten, and they get shut down.
That's a character in Marvel, because I get the card in Marvel Snap.
Yeah, and they get shut down because of this. Graham is like, he comes in as Aten instead and is like, doesn't know where he is. And I think Aten's like a sun god. He's like reaching for the sun. He's falling down. He's like retching and convulsing on the ground.
Is the dude on the ground mimicking falling? I'm falling.
Yeah, literally. He's like barfing and shit. And so they're
throwing up.
Yeah, so they're like holding him and they're like
dude's
holding him
into the bit.
Yeah. They're rubbing him, calming him down, just like holding onto his hands and stuff, just being like, you're good. They calm it down eventually, and then they backtrack all the way back around on the paths to the to another route towards the gray sphere, which is Graham's sphere, which is where they're trying to get. So they skip around, back through, they go to the black sphere this time, which was Horus as the guardian and Saturn as the god. Then they get to the gray sphere, which actually, surprise, surprise, was the home of none other than the guy who started this era, Pan, the spirit, who congratulated them for not giving up after their mistake. Pan told them that their journey was over at this point somehow, that they'd done enough to get the stones that they needed, and then they all turn around and go back through the tree, all the way back the way they came to the purple sphere again, retracing their steps, until they run into Metatron again. And Graham starts to speak in a voice that sounds suspiciously like Mike Martin. So here,
oh, how weird.
You go.
Dude, it really is. It's like he got to the end of the gray sphere and the DM was yada, yada, yada of the stones. He's like, okay, I don't want to do anymore. Yeah, the stones. All right, here I...
It is I, Metatron, guardian of the tree. Thank you for what you have achieved tonight. The world at large will never know the debt that it holds for what you have done. In the traveling tree, you have evoked the forces that will assist you in the gaining of the stones of the Tree of Life. My gratitude knows no bounds. I thank you once again. Go now. Your task tonight is finished.
And I'm going to tell you this right now. Everything that they're looking for, they will get next time on the Minisode.
Oh, thank you. So I'm so, dude, this is... I don't understand how it's getting crazier. I really don't, but it just keeps on getting weird.
We're pretty close to the next phase. This but is just so you know,
phase.
Like, yeah, we're pretty close to the next phase, and we're getting close. I'm not going to go all the way through the book, I don't think, but there's a clear place
don't
where I
think.
Need. Well, there's a clear place where it ends.
I'm going to miss it honestly when it's
we're
gone.
A third of the way through the book, and I'm and you know what? I don't know if it had anything to do with us. I genuinely don't. But Graham Phillips, if you go to his YouTube channel, he's like putting out more stuff. Like the same week that I put out the Greenstone part
finale
four,
yeah.
I think it was. Mm-hmm. Let me mm-hmm. see. Graham Phillips.
He's like, he's got like the Greenstone on Google alerts so that
dude,
when it pops up.
I think he does. Oh my God, seriously? They're all gone?
What? They're gone?
Oh, okay. So there's some live streams. He's doing a book called Strange Fate, I think it is.
Oh my God.
Graham Phillips Strange
Jesse, what is
Fate.
Wrong over there?
Yeah, Strange Fate is out on Amazon and it's free on Kindle Unlimited. It literally came out on April 18th.
Really, really recent then.
It's Graham Phillips and Jody Russell, and they go to a burial site, and there's a storm, and they find themselves in an alternate reality.
Oh, my God.
So there's always more story to tell.
All right, well.
I was away for a minute in my browser, and when I came back, Jesse went into the Turtle Club.
Yeah, he disappeared into his shirt a bit.
He's
there.
Dana Carvey finding out about 9/11 in the Turtle Man
suit. I've seen Master of Disguise.
Master of Disguise. You have?
I've seen multiple times.
Not even surprised for
Why
some fucking
reason. Why is that?
I don't get it. Jesse's sinking into the world. I love you guys. Thank you for the money.
Yep.
Thank you for supporting us.
Thank you guys for your
support.
I love you. We'll see you next time.
To be continued. I love you guys.
We won't have a Minnesota next week as there will be a recording shuffle up, but we'll be back the week after that.
Okay.
Thank you guys. Yeah, yeah.
Goodbye.
Bye.
I am Metatron.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello, my little Chiluminauts, and welcome back to another minisode. I appreciate that. ASMR Alex in the background. My dulcet tones in the foreground.
And also, I'm here.
And there's Davis. Welcome to the minisode, everybody. 141, I think, of our minisodes. It's going to be a fun one because we had a bunch of stories to go through, but there was one at the end that kind of had three parts that Alex made a good point. You should go through these in the minisode with our special guest.
I said this in the main episode too, but just in case you're listening to these in our compilations, we're taking a break from the Chronicles of Giuseppe today. For
poor guy.
While we wait for Jesse to return to us. So
we're
sorry.
We're reading right now. We're going through something, a true story right now of something that happened in like the 80s. But the guy who chronicles it is the guy, the group of people who have these experiences leave behind every time. So they come back and tell him what happened, and then he has to chronicle it. It's fucking wild.
He's there. He's been there for like two.
He's been there for like 5% of the events.
Yeah. It's really good, and I'm sorry to all my fans.
Okay, well, we're going to read the story that this little bit that came off of our subreddit. Three experiences that this particular person had on Highway 20 with the titular title, which means the same thing, I guess. Weird experiences I've had on Highway 20.
Perfect. Great title.
Right? Phenomenal. Alex, you might as well. So you're the one that brought this up, so you bring us in.
All right, here we go. Even if this doesn't end up on the podcast, I hope one of the guys see it. Thank you for such entertaining content. Hi. Let's just say my name's Shion. Shion, what do we think?
I would say Shion.
Shion? You were about to say Shion, though, weren't you?
He was a little fucker.
I think it's Shion. Isn't that like... Do you have a Scion? What's your car?
I have a Scion, but that's got a C in there. That turns everything crazy town.
Shit. What? Shion. What did we say?
I think it's
Shion. Ion is spelled I-O-N.
Okay. That's correct.
Shion. I don't know.
But okay. All right. You know, all right.
You're the guest. You're right.
Yeah. House rules.
Okay.
Hi.
Sorry if I'm wrong.
Hi. Let's just say my...
We're never wrong on this podcast. I don't know if you know this, but we're completely factual at all times on this
podcast.
Find him
on Twitter at Team Davis if you want to complain. Hi.
In a year, I'll see it.
Comment on this post. Let's just say my name's Shion. A little backstory might be needed before we jump in. I'm currently 26 and the youngest of my siblings. My sister is 20 years older than me, and my niece is a year older than me. This might clear up any confusion moving forward.
Okay.
There is a road between the town I lived in growing up and the town my sister lived in called Highway 20. It's a pretty twisty-turny kind of road, one that is prone to accidents, and in my case, lots of nausea.
I'm with you, girl. I'd be the same way. Also, might I add, Highway 20 feels like a great name for like a 70s slasher B-movie.
Yeah, like, or just like like a Monster of the Week style paranormal TV show.
Yes, yes.
Weird experiences on Highway 20, like one of those like...
Hosted by Jonathan Frakes?
Yeah, not so. That was one of our writers.
It never happened.
Wrong.
Got you again.
I wish he had popped up at the end of season 1 and 2 of Picard and done that.
Just kidding.
Dude, oh my God.
Not real.
We had Patrick Stewart on contract, and we just let him do whatever he wanted.
You really did, but season 3 is the actual season of Picard.
Here's the real one.
Here's the real one.
Should I just roll into the first experience?
I think so. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. This first event takes place when I was about 10 years old. My sister calls our mom up, telling her that my niece wants to stay the night and asking if our mom can come pick her up.
You know, I think when someone says they're 10 years old, I still think of rotary phones and wall phones. Like, I'm 10. But they're 26, so this is only 10. Wait, so they were like 16 years ago? Yeah, this is like 2010s, like early 2010s.
I had an iPhone at this time.
Yeah.
It's already pretty late, dark outside, but my mother, the ever-doting grandmother, agrees after asking me, and so we get ready to go. I said we go instead of we stop. How did that happen? We stop at the local grocery store to get me a water for the car ride, since I get car sick.
Girl, I don't know if you're a girl or not, but I'm with you.
I'm waiting in the car as my mom runs in to get me a bottle of water, and it starts raining, which is normal for where I lived. But then I see a helicopter, and I immediately get this bad feeling, and I had the urge to let my mom know when she got back, feeling like if I didn't tell her, something bad would happen to us. My mom gets back in a timely fashion, and I let her know as soon as she's in the car that I have a bad feeling, and we need to be careful on our way to my sister's house. My mom, being the spiritual type, believing in the paranormal, extraterrestrial, supernatural, etc., took what I was saying to heart and agreed to proceed with caution. So, we're driving on Highway 20 when a deer pops up and my mom slows down. She looks at me and says, "I almost swerved, but then I remembered your warning." That wasn't even the weirdest part, though. The deer looked straight at us, bowed its head like it was thanking us, then calmly walked back where it came from. It was both incredible and a bit scary.
Are you sure you weren't in Japan? Because I know a lot of the deers bow their head there for food and stuff, so maybe.
That is like a common deer move.
Yeah. What I'm surprised, I don't understand how the helicopter gave you the bad feeling. It was like the Mothman omen. A helicopter made you feel like something bad was going to happen. And imagine if the mom, like, remembered what she said and then just fucking hit the deer head on and everybody died.
Helicopters give me bad feelings because usually in L.A., it's like a spotlight and it's like, oh, like, there's a criminal running between fences.
Someone
like,
has a gun nearby. Yeah.
I don't like how close that is to where I am.
Yeah. Or the police will text us and be like, hey, we're just so you know, we're practicing our drone like maneuvers near you right now. Sorry.
Sorry about that.
If you hear that, that's us practicing just in case we need to use drones on your neighborhood.
Oh, great.
That means
that's the one thing that I want police to have now is like even more detachment in their killing.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, yeah. No, well, yeah, the further attached you get, the more humane the cops will get when it comes to this.
Yeah,
that's
I'm how sure.
war that's what happened with war too.
Now it's eventually totally humane. We're just gonna let AI decide if we deserve to be arrested or not anyway. So might as well just start getting the robot like revolution happening.
Yeah, RoboCop is the first step of the AI takeover.
Yeah, exactly.
When we turn over the cops to RoboCop, that's when it gets bad.
Well, I'll take the next experience here. It's a bit of a shorter one. So
try and hold on to my character, please.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this event happened about a year later on the same road. Duh, me, it's in the title. So now I'm 11.
Oh shit.
And we're on our way to visit my sister. I stupidly decide to watch Hancock on my portable DVD player on the road.
That
I love
dates
that.
This
great.
Story.
You just teleported me to a yeah, I know. Holy
I saw
shit.
That movie. Was Hancock the superhero one or the yes. matchmaker yep. one?
Yeah, no,
Hitch
is
the matchmaker
one.
Yeah. I saw Hancock. The one with I did not say
chalets.
Hitch.
And yeah. Hitchcock is a film director.
Correct, yeah. I know Hitchcock. That. Even if I haven't seen any of his movies, I do know that.
Hancock, Hitch, Hancock. Hitchcock, Hitch, Hancock. That's like a tongue twister.
I remember liking Hancock, but I've only seen it the one time when I was in the theater. So
it's a bonkers premise. It's a bonkers premise.
I've only watched it one time. It is a movie that has a like such a strong setup, and then when it's revealed what's going on, it like shits itself and dies. I
like
could not believe
Metal Gear Solid 2. Like what you saw in that trailer and what the movie Hancock is actually about is like.
Totally different.
Two, like the trailers are about like the opening, like inciting incident of the movie only.
Yeah,
that's the best part. Right. Like it's a good bit. They just didn't know what to actually do with it, and then once they made it like a shitty Hawkeye story, it's weird.
Hancock is too early. It'd be do better in like now.
Or Hawkman story. Sorry.
Yeah,
it'd be do better in the now present atmosphere of superheroes. I think.
Oh my god, it was a Hawkman script, wasn't it?
Oh my god.
That's it. Literally becomes that, and you're like,
"Oh my god,
what happened? What
you
was
just
it actually?"
Blew
that?
Alex's
blew my mind.
Fucking
yeah,
mind.
You're so right that was just a Hawkman movie.
What? That's boom. When it came out. I was like, "What? What? Why did they?"
I don't know. Who, I don't know.
It's,
never
it
read
started.
Hawkman, so.
It's just like lovers that are cursed, eternal. So they're eternal, gotcha. And they. It's like that whole bit, but it started as like
each other again.
Drunk Superman, and then becomes. It's just a. It's like so. I love the opening. Didn't love it.
Wow.
Whatever.
Wow! Okay, wow! You. I. We had a revelation on this minisode for Alex, and I'm. He's still reeling. Like you.
Is this a paranormal experience?
Actually, no. Right if you're now. On the $20 tier, you can see it. You can.
This
feel
is
him,
why I got to stay off of Highway 20.
Yeah, I'm his little. I'm like usually his little like comic like squire, and I'm glad that when I can like throw something comic-y back at him. Another great popcorn episode. If you want a special guest for a pop, I want to watch that movie again. But I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna watch it by myself.
Yeah, I'm not gonna watch it by myself either.
There's a million movies that I still haven't seen that I want to see.
Man,
you and me. I bet you and I have a very similar haven't seen list.
No. Yours is vast, my man.
Yours for me, it's just like anything in the last 8 months I haven't seen.
Okay. Anything in the last like 80 years I haven't seen. All right. And would you know it? This is back to the car. She's in the car, and wouldn't you know it, I got nauseous. What a shocker.
Me too.
So my mom pulled over into a pullout. I don't know what's a pullout.
I'm guessing like a roadside.
It's like a... Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see. So I could get out and walk around, maybe vomit. But there it was again. I had another bad feeling, so I said to my mom, "Mom, I think you should pull the car forward more to the end of the pullout." She looked at me and nodded her head, started pulling forward. The moment she was at the end and stopped, a semi-truck came rushing into the pullout area and would have totaled our small pickup truck. should my mom not have gone forward more. I was about less than a foot away from the truck as it pulled in beside me, and lucky to not be hit.
So this isn't Hancock. This is Next by Nicolas Cage. That's what this is. We're having where this is that's
he was just watching Hancock.
He was watching Hancock and convincing me through time travel that Hancock is actually just a Hawkman script that was made without the license.
That's wild. I mean, that wouldn't be surprising, especially for that era.
Now that you say it, there is no doubt in my mind that that's exactly what it is.
If not, that's just exactly. They were like, let's just take this exactly.
If that's not widely known, I'm going viral for this. This is like, we're taking this all the way to the top, Davey. This is real stuff.
The funny thing is, watch you in the year of our Lord 2023 try to get anyone excited about Hancock or a Hawkman. And people
Hawkman,
being like, guys, it's this! And you're like,
do you know how close we were? You know how close we were to Hawkman? Like,
apparently, real paradise? Close.
Dude, it's a fantasy.
If he just wasn't in Black Adam, it would have been all right. It would have been all right.
Well, Black Adam was supposed to fix everything, and it didn't seem to do anything.
I don't. That's kind of like funny that it's that because it's a movie about Black Adam.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I like that.
Well, at least the Flash came around, and that bombed too.
The Rock was like the real Black Adam. Like he what you find out about Black Adam.
Yeah, how he made that movie happen. Yeah,
is like what you find out about Black Adam, the character in the movie Black Adam, is like what you find out about The Rock when you look at him making the movie Black Adam. Anyway, they got nauseous. They moved the truck. They survived. That's so
next
Raven.
Story.
Yeah,
Davis.
Is that third experience?
Yes, yeah. It is.
All right. The final event that I can remember on this road. This event happened around the same time as the second one, except we were heading home from my sister's. I believe it was Thanksgiving, and so we were leaving late, and it was dark out. While driving, my mom started slowing down significantly, and I was confused. I asked her why she was slowing down, and her reply was strange. She told me, because there's a horse and wagon in front of us, which confused me even more because I didn't see anything, except for fog and the woods surrounding the highway. Oop, is this in Silent Hill? I told her I didn't see anything and asked her what she was talking about, but she was convinced that there was a horse and wagon in front of us, the old ones back in the pioneer days. Right. She could see it clear as day, but then it disappeared in front of her eyes, and she had to pull over to process what just happened. To this day, I'm disappointed I couldn't have witnessed it, and also curious about what she was seeing, whereas she was convinced she saw a residual spirit or an event long ago. Anyway, those are some experiences I've had. I hope they were interesting to others out there.
They were.
Interesting.
Extremely.
Alex, I wonder what state one. This. I wonder what state this is in.
Highway 20 runs across, I'm assuming, multiple states.
Yeah, but you know, because you're saying horse and wagon, so I'm wondering like what the most likely horse and wagon we're talking about is. Like, you know, maybe like Oregon Trail, or are we talking like
oh my god, it runs
horse and wagon. It said pioneer days, so I'm imagining exactly the Oregon Trail.
This thing runs from Newport, Oregon, to Boston, Massachusetts, for 3,300 miles.
Wow. Like
yeah, I think I just almost. Learned recently, maybe it was from Chiluminati, zeros are horizontal, right? Like for highways, if it ends in a zero, it means it's going like east-west, and then fives mean north-south.
Yes, 100%. I don't know if that was from Chiluminati, but that is a true thing.
It definitely, if it was.
It might actually just been Jesse saying it. I don't know. I only talk to like
possible.
Three people now, so that's where I get my information from. But yeah, it's like a bit of information that I'm like, oh, that's so cool. I don't know what to do with it. I guess if I'm ever like lost without modern technology, but yeah.
Yeah, true. That would have been more useful to me when I was like 18.
TomTom was too expensive.
Yeah. Oh my God. When you get that Garmin finally, oh, with that shit took voice. Forever.
Yeah. Right.
I used to have literally MapQuest maps printed out.
That was how we had to do it all the time too. Don't know how we survived, but we did.
I got lost so many times, man. I don't know. One night I had to call my dad at 1 a.m. because I was lost, and he was pissed.
Dude,
I know what would happen. I would get lost, and you just kind of like go in a direction until you see something familiar, and then you get back.
So yeah, that was a tip my friend gave me back then too. Keep driving until you see a highway sign, and then just jump back on the highway.
I was
not a bad idea. Well, thank you, Davis, for joining us on this luxurious minisode on this need for a new host. And honestly, you might be better than Jesse. So Just your emails open, your phone open. You might be getting a call from my people to your people.
Because he doesn't. Because he didn't totally shoot. Because
he didn't
down.
Fight back at me. Yeah, he didn't fight me today. Jesse always does.
Jesse is great. That kind of sounded like I was gonna say, but there is no but. Like you need Jesse's like
necessary.
Yeah, and
he's the right guy for the job.
Listen, I know I go off the handle sometimes. It happens. I need that man to bring me back to Earth.
Yeah, and in even live, if it hurts in me live in my performance soul. Context, I'll bring you back to Earth.
Like literally, we see this. We know like echo chambers are bad. You need like opposing viewpoints.
You need a treated,
to like measure yourself. Yeah, like
a treated piece of wall covering that absorbs sound and doesn't.
Alex and I are like dear friends. Half of our we just like argue a lot or like. Civilly oppose each other in discussion. Like it's you want it.
That's well, how
as long, like as, long as there's good faith. As long as there's good faith in it.
That's how you
want someone to, like you said, push your viewpoints, makes you think more, makes you see things from different perspectives.
Yeah.
Listen, the Jesse that started this damn podcast and the Jesse that exists now is a Jesse with his third eye slightly open now. All right.
Literally
he has made moves.
In the era of Grush.
Of Grush.
A fundamental like force of all things that I believe is true is like you need like friction to strengthen. You like working out is like damaging your body so that you can like be stronger, having better. You have to like challenge whatever your assumptions are with other things to find the right ones. So it's good. But if someone's like "fuck you, you alien believing piece of shit," then you're like, we're not really like.
Chatting.
It's not an exchange of ideas and
no.
You're just
those, on
that's
Twitter.
Just
right
the YouTube comments. That's the things that get deleted.
Yeah. There's nothing good here. So,
but thank you for joining us. This was
wait,
super
really
fun.
Really quick.
Please
for the fans.
For the fans.
Do you want to do the bonus event?
Oh yeah, we can do the bonus event. Do you want to do it?
Take it away.
Okay, let's here we go. This is a bonus event that didn't happen on Highway 20, but happened to this individual. So this has nothing to do with Highway 20, but it's interesting experience to me at least. When I was about 13, I had this green light hanging lamp in my room that we got from a yard sale, and I hung it above my bed. Within the first week of having it, I started having weird dreams. Then, as the weeks progressed, the weird dreams became scary dreams. They would wake me up, and I'd be covered in sweat. However, after a month had passed, something happened to me for the first time that has never happened since. I had what I believe was sleep paralysis. I woke up terrified. Felt a weight on my body. My room was distorted in green light and shadow. I couldn't scream for my mom. I couldn't move. I just laid there terrified. Only a minute or so had passed before everything was right again and I was able to move. I started crying uncontrollably and had to call for my mom. I asked her to take the lamp out of my room and get rid of it because I told her there was something evil in it, something wrong with it. She disposed of it right away, and ever since getting rid of that lamp, nothing like that has ever happened to me again. Sounds like
this.
Sleep paralysis, for sure.
I love this experience because it's perfectly, like, it's the perfect, like, problem. Like, it illustrates perfectly why these two sides of this conversation can't see eye to eye. Because this is a conversation where somebody's like, I had sleep paralysis, and then I felt like it was coming from this lamp, and I got rid of the lamp, and then I didn't ever have sleep paralysis again.
Yeah.
Right. And in that sense, that makes sense to that person, right? Like, if there is something possessing that lamp, getting rid of the thing with the bad juju in it is like probably the right move, right? But on the other hand, sleep paralysis is like rare. You know, like some people like have it once or twice in their entire life. So both people have the completely valid experience that they both have, and they both believe the exact opposite thing is happening.
Well, and there's the third maybe option, which is like, don't they use lights to induce hypnosis? To can't you use like light stuff to induce altered states?
It could
so like another option could be like
the light
was doing it. It just wasn't because it was fucking a ghost. It was because like, we're the stupid ass human brains are like fucking weird.
Yeah. It's very possible.
So that's why like
does that not make her correct or him correct in that the light may have been possessed?
I think just by not lying. I think just by not lying, they're correct.
Right. I like that.
I think so.
It's tough. Like, what's the definition of correct for this? Because if it's like, is it correct that it could have been? That just is saying it could have been. I don't know. Like, we'll never know.
If this person is not lying, they're relaying their actual experience to us.
What they believe happened and how it went
down. Yeah, that's the best we can do. Like, that's like, obviously, like, if they had like data, that'd be like something more. But like, you know, that's the whole point. That's why these two sides have trouble compromising with each other, because they like completely sort of invalidate each other while also not canceling each other out at all. It's fucked up. Anyway, UFOs are out there.
They are. Yeah. That's fact. Whether they're alien or not, there is UAP zipping around whatever they belong to. Right? That's fact, and I will fucking die fighting that.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on the show, Davis.
Yeah, thank you, Davis. We'll see you again.
Genuine pleasure. God, I hope
and
so.
I might get to give you a little kiss in person soon. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Love that. I've been remarkably unkissed recently.
You know what happens. I'll fix that. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you again, Davis, for joining us. Thank you all for supporting us here on Patreon. We'll be back next week. Goodbye.
Bye.